This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, August 12th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about a farmer who's returned to more primitive means as a means of saving fuel when taking to the field. We'll also have a look at your weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The VX is all gone at the Newport Chemical Depot in western Indiana. That's according to the U.S. Army's Chemical Materials Agency, which says the last of the deadly nerve agent was neutralized late Friday, completing a three-year process. But neutralization is not enough to meet terms of an international chemical weapons treaty. Work still continues on shipping the caustic wastewater produced by neutralization to a chemical plant in Port Arthur, Texas, for incineration. And Chemical Materials Agency spokesman Greg Mayhall says there's more work to do at Newport after that.
The next step will be then to get in there and clean out all the working baffles, pumps, pipes, you name it, that was at the disposal facility. And once we accomplish that, we'll turn our complete focus to closing the entire facility and getting it to the local reuse authority for reuse.
Mayhall says the incineration of the wastewater and the cleaning out of VX residue from machinery at Newport should be done by mid-September. He says dismantling and closing down the Newport Chemical Depot will take another 18 months to 2 years. That will eliminate jobs for roughly 900 people who currently work at the Newport Chemical Depot. Most of those people are civilians working for private contractors. Curtis Collins pleaded guilty yesterday to first-degree murder in the death of his girlfriend. For admitting to the murder last year of Heather Montine of Urbana, Collins was sentenced yesterday to 20 years in prison, the lightest possible sentence. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says the 42-year-old Collins confessed to the murder after initially saying the death was an accident. According to a news release from Reitz, Collins admitted pushing the 31-year-old Montine over the rail of the Ray Street Bridge into the Boneyard Creek. Collins told Urbana police that the murder happened after the two fought over whether to spend their money on alcohol or cocaine. Collins' plea agreement avoids a trial that would have begun next week. Illinois lawmakers are back in Springfield today for special sessions called by Governor Lamar Blagojevich. Blagojevich says he's optimistic there'll be progress on school funding and a capital spending bill, despite crippling tensions between himself and legislators. Ben Calhoun has more.
During a speaking engagement in Chicago, Blagojevich repeated what's become his mantra, that Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan is behind the deadlock in Springfield. Blagojevich cast himself as a victim and reused jokes he's made recently when talking about his dysfunctional relationship with Madigan.
If you know Speaker Madigan and talk to him, tell him I said hello, I'll cut his apple, get him a cup of coffee, come to the table, and be part of this process.
As Blagojevich's relationship with House Democrats has continued to sour, Madigan has become increasingly obstructionist, refusing even to attend meetings with the governor. Blagojevich's increased antagonism of Madigan and other House Dems has only made matters worse. The standoff has hindered state government's ability to address financial problems, crumbling roads and bridges, and calls to increase money for schools. I'm Ben Calhoun.
An Illinois panel will vote today on whether or not to endorse the governor's plan to move more than 100 state transportation jobs from Springfield to Harrisburg in southern Illinois. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin won't have a say in the decision, but he's made it clear he's opposed to the transfer. Durbin says it's an example of Governor Blagojevich playing politics with state workers.
I mean, at the end of the day, how does this save the taxpayers money? How does it generate more employment in our state? And the answer is it doesn't do either one of them. And it's a real terrible hardship for a lot of people that have to pick up and go for reasons that have never been adequately explained. This was the governor's plan for a variety of political reasons.
There's widespread speculation that the governor is transferring the jobs to pay lawmakers from southern Illinois back for siding with him on a recall measure aimed at Blagojevich. Durbin says there are plenty of locations in Springfield to house the Division of Traffic Safety, but the Blagojevich administration says moving the workers will provide cost savings and benefit the southern Illinois economy. Today's vote is only advisory. The governor says the final decision to shift locations has already been made. Illinois State Senator James Meeks is trying to drum up support among Chicago aldermen for his effort to have Chicago Public Schools students boycott the first day of classes next month in a protest over a lack of state funding. However, an alderman says he is not going to get aldermanic support for the tactic. Alderman Fredrina Lyle says there is no consensus among Chicago's black aldermen to support Meeks' boycott call. She says the bottom line is that everyone wants the children in school. Meeks and some Chicago community leaders want parents to keep their children home on the first day of school and try to enroll them in schools in Winnetka to protest the way schools are funded in the state. Yesterday, Meeks said he would be disappointed if the aldermen spoke out against the boycott. The Champaign School District plans a major campaign this fall to improve the student attendance rate. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that story.
To launch the campaign, volunteers will be knocking on doors across the district on Tuesday, September 23rd. They'll be talking to families about Unit 4's truancy policy and encouraging daily class attendance. Director of Pupil Services Sandra Duckworth told Champaign School Board members last night that they're seeking volunteers from all sectors of the community.
We have asked many community members, we have organizations, we have school people, we have lots of support community-wide and gathering. We're anticipating that we will have at least a minimum of 200 volunteers with this effort.
Unit 4 is aiming at a 95% attendance rate, especially for African Americans, as part of its consent decree for racial equity. School officials say attendance was high last year, but the 95% mark was only met in the elementary grades, and that only happened among African Americans at Barksdale and Booker T. Washington schools and among non-African Americans overall. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A federal judge has given class action status to a racial discrimination lawsuit filed in February 2005 against Elgin-based Unit School District 46. The suit accuses the school district of violating the rights of minority students by forcing them to attend older and more crowded schools and to ride buses farther than white students. The ruling by U.S. District Judge Robert Gettleman increases the number of African American and Hispanic students with potential claims against the school district to about 17,000 instead of just the 14 plaintiffs in the suit. Since the lawsuit was filed, four of the 18 students named have graduated from high school and are no longer part of the lawsuit. District 46 attorney Patricia Witten says school officials are disappointed with the ruling. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. With fuel prices through the roof, many people are changing their routines to save money. Tamara Keith brings us the story of a farmer who's abandoned his tractor for something much more fuel efficient.
Step up.
Meet Dan Macon and his mule, Frisbee.
Frisbee is a 7-year-old mule that was born here at our place. And she got her name because I promised my oldest daughter, who was then 3, that if she got up with me when the mule was born, she could pick the name.
Step up.
Good girl.
On this day, Macon and Frisbee are plowing to prepare a patch of land to plant for the fall. Macon's Flying Mule Farm is in the California foothill town of Auburn, and he says it's 100% animal-powered.
We have a sign now in our farmer's market stall that says mule-powered vegetables. We use no pesticides, no synthetic fertilizers, and no petroleum in producing our vegetables. And we joke with them that we haven't harmed any tractors in producing their goodies.
He sells his squash, kale, potatoes, and other produce at 2 local farmers markets. He also supplies restaurants in nearby resort towns.
Step up.
At this point, Macon is only farming a 1/4 acre, but he hopes to expand soon. He holds a pair of leather reins as he follows Frisbee in circles around the small field. He directs her movements with vocal cues, kissing sounds, and pressure applied to the reins. And it seems to work, some of the time.
Seems like it could be a matter of debate as to who's in charge.
Well, as I tell people who've seen pictures of us doing it, the mule's the one with the long ears and the guy in the hat is the jackass.
Macon has been farming for 7 years, and until this year, he used gas and diesel-powered tractors. He made the switch for philosophical reasons rather than economic ones, but it's penciling out financially, too.
And then diesel went to $5 a gallon, and it seemed like a really good decision.
And Macon isn't the only farmer doing this. Animal-powered farming, particularly with horses, is growing in popularity nationwide. Lynn Miller is editor of the Small Farmers Journal. He says 400,000 people are using animals to farm, and only half of them are Amish.
I'm predicting within 2 to 3 years an additional 250,000 people will join the ranks of those who choose animal power, not as a throwback, not as some return to a nostalgic past, but because it is a practical and viable option for the future.
Macon uses organic farming practices, but Frisbee kind of fertilizes the soil as she goes, if you know what I mean. So his produce can't be certified organic. Macon says he isn't concerned about his lack of certification.
I think knowing your farmer is far more important to food safety than any regulatory program. And if you know your farmer and your farmer stands behind what he or she's producing for you, you're going to be insured of a safe product. And that's how our relationship works with our customers.
There are other advantages to farming with a mule, says Macon. He's not much of a mechanic, so when his tractor broke down in the past, he'd have to call someone to repair it. Now if his source of traction has a problem, he can just call his wife. She's a large animal veterinarian. For the Environment Report, I'm Tamara Key.
And the forecast for the region today, partly sunny, the high around 78. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 58. Partly sunny, a chance of showers tomorrow, the high around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy Wednesday evening, the low around 58. Mostly sunny Thursday, the high around 82. Thursday night through Saturday night, we have mostly cloudy skies, the low around 62, the high around 82. Mostly cloudy Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 78 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 12th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.